عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولانا زكريا recited portion of Qasida Burda. So the first stanza that he recited is something that we are all guilty of, that we have neglected the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Nabi of ours who stood awake lengthy rakats of salah at night, so much so that his Mubarak feet would swell. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed so hungry on different occasions that sometimes stones had to be tied on his Mubarak stomach in order to hold the stomach, hold the hunger. So stones were tied. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one hadith sharif that suffer journey is a piece of punishment. Why? Because a person is eating, he's drinking, everything goes off. So when you are finished with your work, then return home quickly. Don't remain. Our suffer these days, we get more food to eat, more things to drink, fruits you never see, you'll find. It's Allah Ta'ala's favor upon us, also because of our weakness. Otherwise, if we had to tie stones on our belly and serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala, we would have fallen down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was not a young man at that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was already advanced in age, and he's tying stones on his Mubarak stomach. Sahaba Ibn-Nawm also had stones tied on their stomachs. And what type of khidmat of deen they were making? They were making khidmat of deen, digging hard labor in that type of condition. Khidmat of deen, every khidmat of deen is to establish the deen of Allah Ta'ala. The main khidmat of deen is jihad fi sabilillah. The best way to invite towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala is jihad fi sabilillah. That is something that the ummah has totally neglected. And because the ummah has neglected it, we find ourselves in this type of situation today. Recently, somebody shared one recording of a person who is part of the American intelligence, the army intelligence. I don't know exactly what is the person's position, but somebody very high up. And that person was giving a talk to their people, their, you know, people that are involved in their, what they call intelligence. So the person mentioned that our greatest threat, the greatest threat to our freedoms is an Islamist mindset. The Islamist mindset, that is the greatest threat to our freedom. So we are fighting Hamas and we are fighting Boko Haram and we are fighting this one and that one, all that is there in its place. But what gives birth to that is the Islamist mindset. So what we need to fight is that Islamist mindset. We must fight that. Once we get rid of that, then you won't get all these different, in their words, what they call terrorist organizations, they won't get all these things won't be born if you get rid of the Islamist mindset. So what is the Islamist mindset? That person explains that the Islamist mindset is that there must be one Muslim ruler, and he must rule over the entire Muslim community, no matter where they are. And then they must establish their religion. It's not our religion. It is the religion that Allah Ta'ala has sent. The deen that Allah Ta'ala has sent. So they feel that they must establish that. And anybody who stands in the way of that, they will not be tolerated. They will not be tolerated to stand in the way of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So this she is explaining, the Islamist mindset. So we must ask ourselves, that where do I stand in this? Today, as a Muslim, I am standing in the way of Islam. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he used to say that we are standing in the doorway of Islam. We ourselves don't want to enter properly. And we don't want anybody else to enter also. Our condition has become such that when somebody wants to do the right thing, then that person is condemned. The people who are doing the wrong thing, for them we say, no, you must have hikmat, you must have tolerance. For example, say in a family, you get one young man now, he joins the work of tabligh, or he makes taluk with some sheikh, or he goes to some madrasa to study, etc. And he starts realizing that, look, there are certain things that we are doing which are wrong, and he wants to now rectify them. So for example, if there is a function in the family, whether it's a wedding function or family get together, whatever it may be, and now there isn't going to be parda in that function. Proper parda is not going to take place in that function. So if this young man has to say to his parents that, no, look, I'm not going to attend because there's going to be photography there and intermingling, and you know that venue also is full of extravagance, etc. So all these things are going against the teachings of Islam. So for that reason, I'm not going to attend. So instead of that mother and father embracing that young man and telling him that, look, son, you made us feel very happy today, that you are holding on to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. You make dua that we too can also get tawfiq. They won't do that. 9 out of 10 won't do that. Rather, they will come down on him like a ton of bricks. What your nanny is going to say? What are we going to tell your auntie? You're going to now disgrace us and embarrass us in the whole family. And why are you acting selfish? Somebody else's happy moment. And you can't be so rigid. You can't be so strict. Those are the things that will be spoken to that person. And the people who are perpetrating the wrong, even if they took a loan on interest to have that function, or if their earnings are haram in order to afford such a lavish type of function, right? And even if they bring it with halal money, but the expenditure is in the wrong place. Now, those people, nothing is spoken to them. Nobody will even bat an eyelid. Nobody will crease a forehead. Nobody will tell them that, look, boy, what you're doing is totally wrong. And if you're going to have this kind of a function, then none of us are attending. Nobody will have the courage to tell them anything. But the one who is trying to do something right, that person is condemned. You becoming too strict and too rigid. You can't live like this in the dunya. All those kind of things will be spoken to that person. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we as mu'mineen, we ourselves first must fall in love with our deen. Allah Ta'ala must bless us with His love. Like how Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what love they had for Allah Ta'ala, what love they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after that, they didn't worry about their wishes, their desires. All that mattered to them was, what is going to make Allah Ta'ala happy? What is going to make Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy? That is what we must do. Today, we are caught up in many worldly pursuits. Worldly pursuits is not only the pursuit of wealth. There are different pursuits. Some are caught up in the pursuit of wealth. Others, money is not so important to them. They just want to have a good time. Some person has got a certain hobby. Now he's just caught up in that hobby. Hours and hours will go into that. Weekends and weekends will go into that. Different pursuits of the dunya we are caught up in. And what does Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi say? That where could the world entice the one whom, if it were not for him, then the world would not have come out of non-existence into existence. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a person that he was not enticed by the dunya. The world did not entice him. So much so that even when he was promised mountains of gold, that too he refused. Rather, I stay hungry one day, eat one day. The day I'm hungry, I make sabr. The day I eat, I make shukr. So we have got trapped in worldly pursuits. And hirs has gotten hold of us. We become greedy. We become greedy for the world. So Hazrat Imam Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi, he explains here that what is hirs, what is greed? So the total attachment to and engrossment in materialism. Total attachment and engrossment in materialism. Right? Now we will say, but we are not like this. We are not totally engrossed in materialism. We are not totally attached to materialism. Right? But if we have to analyze our lives, the brothers in Jamaat, the Tablighi brothers, so they say they give 2.5 hours a day. From 24 hours, give 2.5 hours a day. So ask ourselves, even those of us that are active in the work of Tablir, how many are giving 2.5 hours a day? And then the brothers that are involved in Tablir, at least they're giving some time. They will sit in the morning after Fajr, in the morning Mashwara, in the evening, they'll sit, they'll make some ta'neem. They'll go for one in-gush, they'll go for one out-gush. Those of us that are not involved in tabligh, what's our attachment to deen? So if a person has got a sheikh, then maybe he'll go once a week for some majlis, and he'll come away. And the rest of us, what do we do? On a daily basis, how much of time do we give to our deen? So if we're not giving time to our deen, then what are we giving time to? We're not giving time to deen. So what are we then giving time to? Is it not towards the world or our hobbies, things that make us happy? Things that are appeasing our nafs, things that we enjoy doing. So then if there is not engrossment in other than the deen of Allah Ta'ala, then what else can we call it? And if a person is just engrossed all the time in materialism, then this is hirs, this is greed. Greed has gotten hold of us. Last night, Allah Ta'ala put one thought in the mind. We mentioned it last night for the first time, I think. I mentioned it. We'll mention it again today. That if we have to take the average Muslim in our South African community and ask him that what is the level of your Islamic education. So most went to maktab, majority went to maktab up to grade 7, grade 8. After grade 7 they qualified. So if they're still coming to maktab, then it's like now you have to patao them. They're like so honored, they're coming to maktab. Then, oh, you know, you can just come once a week or twice a week or something. The maktab becomes like a part-time thing, right? So that's the level of our Islamic education. The huffaz, they will memorize the Quran Sharif. They will memorize the Quran Sharif, which is a great thing. But sometimes they don't even understand the masail of paki and napaki. So they memorize the Quran Sharif. Hafiz Sahib has memorized the Quran Sharif, but his haircut, his head is shaved, and on the top he got long hair. But he is Hafizul Quran, mashallah. But his pants is flowing beneath his ankles. Right? He is also watching movies. He also got a girlfriend. He is Hafizul Quran. So it shows that although he is a Hafizul Quran, but what is his understanding of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and how much of the deen of Allah Ta'ala has he brought into his life? I'm just giving examples. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. It is for me to introspect. It is for you to introspect. For all of us to introspect. So the level of ta'lim, deeni ta'lim, is like grade 7, grade 8. At that time, what can you really explain to the children? So they learn the basics, kalimas, duas, namaz, roza, zakat. They don't understand the laws of zakat because they're too small to even understand it. Hajj, they don't really understand it. They learn it in the kitab and that's about it. After that, how many of us have pursued some Islamic education? How many of us have tried to improve our Quran recitation? How many of us, after we finished maktab, we went to some alim, some learned person, and say, you know what, man, my dua kunut, last I read it when I was in grade 7, I don't know if I'm making a mistake, can you please just listen to me? Listen to me and see if I'm reading it right. So when it comes to our deeni ta'lim, so there we see that we fulfilled our fariza. That amount of knowledge that we needed to acquire, what is faraz, we did that. But when it comes to acquiring the dunya, so there we will see. Every person knows a hadith now. That to earn a halal rozi, this is faraz. To earn a halal rozi is faraz. To study ilm-e-deen is also faraz. That much of deen by which we can differentiate between halal, haram, that is also faraz. But there we just do with the basic. And to earn a halal rozi is also faraz. But there, if we earned that much whereby we could buy one pocket mini meal and one pocket maybe some potato and rice, and that can pull us through the month, why don't we stop earning for the rest of the month? There we continue earning, right? We got a house, we want a bigger house, we got one contract, we want two contracts. We got a motor car, we want a better motor car. There we want to keep improving. But our inner being, we are satisfied where it is. Khalas, I don't need to study anything further. And the worst tragedy is that forget studying anything further. If anybody has to point out to us, that see, by this what you're doing is wrong, or you're supposed to be doing that, khalas, the fight is on. Fight is on. Who are you to tell me? No, I got my mufti, got my fatwa. Everybody got their own fatwa today. So, one side we don't want to take out the time to go and learn something. And other side, if somebody is doing us a favor and they're pointing out to us something, then that too is a problem. So how are we going to progress as an ummah? How are we going to progress? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions here that this greed, this hirs, it has no end point. It is like a raging fire. It's like a raging fire. And as you put more fuel into it, the fire becomes more. A person, initially when he starts working, he says, no man, you know what? If I can just get a roof over my head. And just get a roof over my head. And alhamdulillah, I'm sorted out. My family is sorted out. Anything happens to me. Now when he got the roof over his head, this roof needs to be bigger now. This roof needs to be in a better neighborhood now. There's no end to it. It just continues, right? There's no end to it. Greed in various guises is the root of all ills. Immorality is nothing but lust for pleasure. Immorality is a greed for pleasure. Arrogance is greed for fame. Everything, if you go down to the root, it is a greed. Person has got a greed. And this greed, if it is not checked, is not stopped, then slowly it retrogresses, it gets worse, and it comes to tamah. Avarice, in English they say avarice. So this tamah is such type of a greed that will lead a person even to kufr and shirk. The greed is so much that after that it will lead a person even to kufr and shirk. So each one of us, we will know where our weakness is. We will know where our weakness is. What is the thing that is a distraction in my life? Is taking me away from Allah Ta'ala. The purpose of my life is to worship Allah Ta'ala, to recognize who my Allah Ta'ala is. Now what are the things in my life that is taking me away from that? Each one of us, we have to check in our life. And then we have to agree, we have to understand that this is my weakness. This is my weakness. And once I've identified my weakness, I now have to put it right. I can't keep making an excuse for myself. I have to put myself right. Whatever my greed may be, one of the things that shaitan keeps, giving us dhoka, deceives us, is he makes us always worried about the future. Always make us worry about the future. This is the ajeeb trick of the devil. Even when a person is changing his life, now in order to put him down, Shaitan makes him think of his past gunas. How could you have done that? It makes him feel like depressed, pulls him down. He thinks of his past sins and he thinks, there is no hope for me. There is no hope for me. The other worry Shaitan puts into him, yeah, you're changing now, but you know you what you are. By tomorrow, you'll be doing something wrong again. So he makes him think about the future. Whereas, all we have to worry about is the present. Regarding the past, we make toba, we make istighfar, and we have yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala forgives all gunas. Regarding the future, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala and we trust in Allah. And we are happy whatever the decree of Allah Ta'ala is, we are pleased with that decree. The only thing we have to worry about is the present. That in the present situation, am I in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala? Am I in the obedience of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or am I in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala and the disobedience of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's all we have to have fikr about. The present. We don't have to worry about the future. The same is with regards to our financial well-being, our health. A person, why does he insure his vehicle? Why does he take out insurance on his vehicle? Because he's worried about a future calamity. Something that's going to happen in the future. What if my motor car gets stolen? What if I meet in an accident? What if this has to happen? What if that has to happen? That's the future. Allah Ta'ala gave you the car now. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave it. So use it. Use it in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever security measures are permissible in deen, make use of them. You're parking your vehicle, park it in a safe spot. After that, if Allah Ta'ala has decreed that that vehicle is going to go, then I must be pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Who said that in this dunya I am not going to suffer any loss? Allah Ta'ala is telling us that I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't just say it. Allah Ta'ala says it with emphasis. With emphasis. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ لَمْ تَعْكِدْ مَانُونْ سَقِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala with emphasis is saying that I'm definitely going to test you. With fear, with hunger, with decrease in your wealth, decrease in life, somebody will pass away, some decrease in your crops. I'm going to test you. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And glad tidings to those who are patient, not those who take out insurance. Now if a person took out insurance and his motor car went away, right? He's not reading Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa kufri khayra minna. He's guiding his agent. The first thing come to his mind is his agent, not Allah Ta'ala. He needs to get now in touch with his broker, isn't it? Because he needs to put in a claim. Now his car got stolen. He needs to put in a claim. But if he doesn't have any insurance and that vehicle went, where is his cry going to be? Is his cry not going to be to Allah Ta'ala? His cry is going to be to Allah Ta'ala. So a person, he wants this investment, that investment, or put some money there, put some money here, and all those investments, bichara, all falling down. So many people are losing so much of money in all these different investment schemes, etc. So why was it all put there? Because we're all worried about the future. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen? We're not content with the present. And we're not just content with what Allah Ta'ala is giving me. The fikr, the worry about the future. Now, if it is a permissible investment, nobody says not jais. But then so many people are getting involved in haram things, wrong things, earning in a haram way, spending in haram ways, investing in haram ways, trying to protect our investments in haram ways. All this is due to hirs and worry about the future. The future, Allah Rabbul Izzat will look after us. Allah Ta'ala will take care of us. And tests will come. Tests will come. But وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah Ta'ala is with the patient ones. Our Azmah Inspector Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to explain this. He used to say that if you go to write a paper, person is going to write an examination, and he looks at the paper, and the paper is very, very difficult. Very difficult paper. And now he's sweating now. How am I going to answer this thing? And then if the examiner, the one who set the paper, comes to him and tells him that, see, just put your hand in my hand. In South Africa, make sure you got a couple of notes with it. In South Africa, put your hand in my hand, make sure you got a couple of notes. That Hazrat never said. Coming back to what Hazrat said. He says, so if the examiner comes and tells the person, put your hand in my hand, I'll answer the paper for you. Now, all that hum, all that worry, all that perspiration, next thing it turns to happiness now. Because the hand is gone into the hand of the examiner. The examiner now has taken the pen. The examiner now will fill in all the answers. Now what fikr do I have? That is a person who has become Allah's. A person who has become Allah's, he has put his life in Allah's control. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ Any difficulty comes, any problem comes, say, Allah may razi ho. Whatever your decree is, I am happy. Whatever you have written for me, whatever you have mapped out for me, whatever rasta you have, you know, chosen for me, I am happy with that. I am handing everything over to you. So the problem happens, he cries to Allah. Now, is Allah Ta'ala not going to take care of that banda? Is Allah Ta'ala not going to look after that servant? So this, the awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The greatest fear, the greatest worry, everybody will have on the day of Qiyamah. The awliya Allah, even there, they won't have worries. So when those big worries won't worry them, then the things of the world, is it going to worry them? Just see if the price of petrol goes up, how much discussions take place. The price of petrol come down, there's not too much discussion. If the price of petrol is going up, how much of discussion? The dollar price now, the rand dropped to the dollar. Now how much of discussion will take place? But if you go sit in the company of pious people, do you hear that discussion? These things don't affect them. Doesn't affect them. Because they understand that Allah Ta'ala is in charge. Allah Ta'ala is taking care of everything. Why must I worry my little brain? I must just comply with Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wants me to do, I must just do that. I mustn't do anything that is haram. I mustn't resort to anything haram. If I slip up, if I err, if I made a mistake, I must cry to Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. That's my life. Kabhi ta'ato kasurur mein, kabhi i'tiraf kusur hai. Sometimes I am in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, I'm happy. And sometimes I'm making i'tiraf of my kusur. I'm acknowledging my weaknesses, my mistakes, my shortcomings. I'm crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our life as believers. So to conclude, That person who was giving that talk was standing on the beginning. So they mentioned in the talk that this Islamist mindset, if we allow it to continue, then it will deprive all in the Western and European countries, it will deprive us of all our freedoms. All our freedoms will be deprived of it. So they say that these freedoms are God-given. God-given freedoms will be deprived of it. Now we as mu'mineen, we are also thinking that we have got freedoms. That I can dress how I want to dress. I can keep my hair how I want to keep. I can have my wedding how I want to do. I can run my business how I want to run. Whereas, there's no freedoms. In the dunya, there's lot of laws. The dunya is like a prison for a believer. It's like a prison. There's lot of restrictions. Everything that we do, we have to be living within the parameters of the Shariat. If there is leeway within the parameters of the Shariat, then that is fine. No problem. But if it is not allowed in the light of the Shariat, we can't do it. That's our life. And you see, to establish the Shariat, the establishment of the Shariat, that is the mission of the Ummah. Now this we have forgotten. The establishment of the Shariat. We are fine. Right, we came to this country here, we had a good innings, we made it, we built our houses, we going for our umrahs and hajj, and we say that we got freedom of religion. Yes, we do have more freedoms than people have in other countries. So we got freedom of religion, we can make our ibadat, everything we carry. But our duty as mu'mineen doesn't end there. As an ummah today, why is it that so many estates are not wound Islamically? So many qaza are not given according to Sharia. So many disputes are not resolved Islamically. Why? Because there's no establishment of Sharia. There's no establishment of Sharia. So this is a big weakness on our part. Our mission on earth was not to just sort out our dunya. Just to sort out our world. No. We are the khalifas of Allah Ta'ala on earth. Allah Ta'ala calls us that. We are the khalifas of Allah Ta'ala on earth. So what we were supposed to be doing is establishing the Shariat. That is what Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to do. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking Deen-e-Islam to the mushrikeen, so they made a lot of offers to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, no need for us to fight and all that. One year we worship how you sing, one year we worship what we doing. So if it was just about that, then that could have just resolved. There was no need for all the wars to take place, no need for hijrat to take place. Why did all these things have to take place? It was because the Shariat of Allah Ta'ala needed to be established. If it was just to secure your homeland, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madina Munawara. That was a place of aman. And then Fateh Makkah took place. So that should have been the end of things. That we are secure now, we can go to Kaaba Sharif whenever we want. We got our Madina Munawara here, we got Kaaba Sharif there, we got our homeland here, finished. But no, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to then move, go to other countries, go there and give them deen, and forcefully tell them that you bring iman, then you are our brothers. If you don't bring iman, then no problem, you live under our rule. You don't want to bring iman, but you will live under our rule. The rule of Allah Ta'ala will reign supreme. not your country's constitution. The constitution is Allah Ta'ala's Sharia. That is what will reign supreme. So we will rule over you, then we don't need to fight. But by you not establishing the law of Allah Ta'ala, you are depriving mankind of salvation. In the world also and in the akhirat also. So you have to allow us to rule and establish the Sharia. Bring the system of Allah Ta'ala in this land of yours. And you will live under us. And if you are not prepared to do that, then we will unsheath our swords. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed, that is what will happen. But we can't allow you to rule how you are ruling. So this mission of the believer, we have left it. We can't even do it in our own houses. Forget going to our country and unsheathing our sword and everything. We can't do it in our own home, we can't establish the Sharia. We can't do it in our business. We can't do it in our communities. So we need to start there. We need to start there. Bring deen in my life. Take out time to study the deen of Allah Ta'ala. What is this deen of Allah Ta'ala all about? Put my basics right. And then take it further. Then establish deen in my home. That everything in my house must be according to Sharia. Everything in my house must be according to Sunnah. Then my business must come according to deen and Sharia and Sunnah. Then slowly my broader family, I need to make effort there now. Bring everybody onto deen and Sharia and Sunnah. This is our purpose as mu'mineen. Our purpose here in the dunya, this is our purpose, our mission. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh wa ilayka yarji'u al-amru kulluh. لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله you forgive our sins oh Allah forgive each and every sin that we have committed oh Allah يا الله forgive us forgive our parents our asatiza our mashayikh يا الله forgive our spouses oh Allah our children oh Allah our siblings oh Allah our family members our friends those whose haq is upon us those whose ihsan is upon us those who have asked us to make dua for them Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive all the marhumin, marhumat of Allah. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us all with hidayat of Allah. Ya Allah, cause your winds of hidayat to blow in the entire world of Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with ilm nafi' of Allah. Ya Allah, give us the ability of Allah to realize what is haq. And to give us the tawfiq to follow it, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to realize what is batil. And give us the tawfiq, O Allah, to abstain from it, O Allah. Ya Allah, you are the controller of our hearts. Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya from our hearts. Ya Allah, incline us towards your deen. Incline us towards the shariat, the sunnah. Incline us towards the akhirat. Ya Allah, incline us towards what you have prepared for us, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours and you become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make our mukammal islah, O Allah. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place, O Allah. Everyone that is serving your deen, Ya Allah, within the parameters of the shariat, Ya Allah, you accept it. Take it from strength to strength, O Allah. Ya Allah, ease the pain and the hardships of the ummah around the globe, especially those in Gaza, in Sudan, in Somalia, in other parts of the country and other parts of the world, O Allah. Those in war-torn countries, Ya Allah, poverty-stricken countries, disaster-stricken countries, Ya Allah, come to the aid and the assistance of Allah. Ya Allah, especially those of us in guna-stricken countries, fitna-stricken countries, Ya Allah, you protect us, O Allah. Protect us from the evils of our nafs, O Allah. Protect us from the whisperings of shaitan, O Allah. Protect us from the temptations of the dunya, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us all yours and you become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, one day we have to pass away, take us away with iman, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to establish the shariat on earth, O Allah. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the Muslim ummah, O Allah. Ummat ko ek bana de, ummat ko nek bana de. Ya Allah, bless the ummat with a khalifa, O Allah. Ya Allah, a khalifa who will lead the ummat, who will establish your shariat, who will lead the ummat, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we have become like orphan children, O Allah. Ya Allah, we don't have a spine, O Allah. We have become so weak, O Allah. We have been deceived into thinking that our designer labels is our strength. Our cell phone is our strength. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we have become so weak as an ummah, O Allah. You strengthen us, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaa bil qadaa wa nas'aluka barda al 'aysh ba'da al maut wa nas'aluka ladhdhat al nazar ila wajhik wal shawq ila liqa'ik. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.